Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And it's a lovely Sunday night. It's 77 degrees out, which is almost summer. Although it's technically still spring. Actually, it's still even Aries spring. And what we do here at the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's going on in the heavens, why it's so darn warm, and why what we're going to run into in the week ahead. The premise is, as above, so below, as without, so within. So the heavens above describe what is going on someplace in your chart. And then we look to see where it's going on in your chart so that you can work with it or figure out how to handle it or, you know, sometimes stay in bed with covers over your head or, you know, whatever your solution is. Let's think of it that way. We're solution-oriented astrology. When I first studied it, it was kind of like, oh, you're stuck with this. And I'm like, what? That doesn't seem very helpful. I'm a Virgo. We like to help. So I was like, okay, well, maybe we can work with it productively. Maybe we can fix it. Ha-ha. You know, you really can't fix things. But what you can do is reframe your attitude, understand the cosmic purpose, look at it from a bigger perspective, the 20,000-foot vision as opposed to the I'm happening to me and I'm going to die and whatever. The karmic purpose sometimes, if we know that's going on, and usually when there's nodes involved or people on our nodes, that will be one of the things that's running. And we often find that part of our job is, you know, people living in the world is trying to make sense of things. And we are a critter. We were one of the few critters that we know of, at least, that go, okay, so like, what did that mean? And I was recently reading some Camus, I don't know how to say his name, the French guy who's the existentialist who says, you know, all of life is meaningless. And, you know, it's like stupid. You know, what are you doing? It doesn't have a purpose. And, that, you know, I'm a Virgo. Everything has to have a purpose or a use or a function. So if you're an existentialist, hang up now. Don't listen to the show. If you're somebody that's trying to figure out what the heck is going on in the world, what the heck is going on in your life, why you're here, and what you're supposed to do, then stay tuned because we're going to talk about what the week ahead is. Now, last week was a hard week for a couple of reasons. We had Pluto stopping in the sky. We had Mars stopping in the sky, and the two of them overlapped. Now, what happens when a planet stops, we know it really doesn't stop, but it looks like from Earth that it does. And it looks like it pauses and kind of sits there. You know, in the summer solstice, we think the sun stands still for 3 days. You know, that's a lot of the death and rebirth story, you know, with Christ being dead for 3 days, being reborn, Isis in the underworld for 3 days, being reborn, the death and the resurrection. It also is very much the sun stops for 3 days, sitting down in the Tropic of Cancer or the Tropic of Capricorn, it appears it stands still, and then it starts to move again. So that's what also happens with the planets. They appear to stop, and then they appear to go in a new direction, and then they appear to stop again, and then they appear to go in a new direction. So it's kind of like a cosmic ping-pong game. So when Saturn went direct at 6 last September, we started with the Occupy Wall Street people. They showed up on September 17th, right as he went direct. Not Saturn, Pluto. I said Saturn again. And take it back. Pluto went direct on September 17th. The Occupy Wall Street people happened. Then in November, around when Pluto entered his shadow, I'm going to do this the whole show, I can tell. Remember, it's Pluto, not Saturn, okay? Whatever I say, it's Pluto. Unless I say it's really Saturn. So when Pluto entered his shadow for where he's going to go now was December 21st, right before Christmas. So something came to light then, and you went, oh, really? That's the story, So then you've been working on it all this time, and you've been basically heading into new territory, really. Pluto stopped last week on Tuesday, and he said, you know what, I can't go any further. I have to go revise what went on at Christmas time. So now he's going backwards until September, and he's going to revise what went on between Christmas and now. And he's going to look at it and come up with a new plan or maybe modify direction or change the shape or something. And then in September, he stations to go forward again at 657, the degree he was at last Christmas. of 2011. And then he goes into the new sign and goes past where he is today, this week, in January of next year. Now, when we see that, we go, wow, he goes 3 degrees. That's all he's going to go in a whole year. Pluto's slow. When we're making deep, profound internal transformations, he's very, very slow. And he wants us to really understand the significance, because Pluto's all about our power and our skill set, because he owns the underworld. He owns the wealth of the underworld. So wherever you have Pluto is a place where you're exceptionally talented, but it's also a place where you can often run into hell. So it's kind of an interesting thing, because he's a little all or nothing. So one of my favorite stories is my Aunt Carol, right? And she has Pluto, and she has Pluto in the eighth house. And Pluto in the eighth, of course, is obsession with sex or, you know, other eighth house things. So when she was, for a while, she was a nun, 7 years, no sex, right? All or nothing, no sex that time. And I was working, she was one of the first charts I ever read, and I wrote up all this stuff about her, and I brought her to my astrology teacher. We were working on her, and I'm like, okay, so like Pluto in the eighth, and you know, obsession is on, it's off, it's like really deeply. And he looks at me and he goes, your uncle is a happy man. And I kind of went, oh, okay. Now, I will tell you, my aunt and uncle have a very passionate relationship. You know, you can just kind of tell these things sometimes. And I kind of went, oh, okay. So she did have that period of celibacy where it was nothing. And then she had Pluto in Scorpio, or Pluto in the eighth, where it was a lot of stuff, right? So your job, when you're having Pluto, is to really understand it on a profound level. And Pluto wants to take you into the depths. He does not agree with snorkeling on the top of the water. He wants you deep sea diving. He wants you going down into the underworld and rolling around with him. So this week, we had the 100th anniversary of the Titanic, which, of course, the ship that sank with thousands of people dying and, you know, went to the bottom of the sea. Boom. And so they were talking about, you know, trying to protect it from marauding submarines, you know, people coming and bothering it now that it's been located. And it also was, well, you know, dealing with the depths, dealing with, and they were talking about the ongoing fascination. Why that ship? Why that, you know, because lots of ships have sunk. The maiden voyage, naming it after the gods, the hubris of it's an unsinkable ship. The layers of classism that went on in it. It was kind of an interesting series of conversations, you know, in magazines and in news articles. But it's also Pluto wants us to go to the depths. And so there this beautiful boat sits 2.5 miles below the sea on the bottom of the ocean. And we're still obsessed with her. We're still talking about her 100 years later. It's kind of cool in a weird way, but it's also like a little crazy, you know? I mean, really, what's the obsession for? Well, Pluto is all about obsession. And in this case, it's Capricorn, so it's wealth and power. And it's Mars and Virgo, you know, the servers, the class, the people, because Mars also was stationing this week. And Mars and Virgo is the servants, the classes, the groups of people, the working poor, the working people. And how people did work. So Mars stationed on Friday. And Mars has been, his story is he entered Virgo in November. And he got to the degree that he stopped at this week, right before Thanksgiving, around the 20th of November. And then he got to the last week of January, January 23rd. And he stationed to go retrograde. So you shifted directions. And now he's stopping again, and now he's stationing to go direct and going forward. And then he's going to clear Virgo by the end of June. So Mars is your planet of get up and go, and he's now ready to go. Well, actually, right now he's stopped dead in the sky. So right now you can feel a little stalled. But he's going to be in the mood to get moving, right? And you're going to be in the mood to get moving once he goes direct. Now, the other piece that we have running in this is, you know, understanding that these two planets, because they both stopped, they kind of overlapped. And in the overlapping, they form a sensitive point in the sky called a midpoint. And that happened to be at 6 Scorpio, 657 Scorpio. So if you had stuff at 6:57, the Mars-Pluto energy was talking to that, even though Pluto was at 9 and Mars was at 3. 6:57 was a hot degree too, because that was kind of in the middle between the two of them. And, you know, in my case, that's my Saturn, which is my father. So I thought, well, something's going to be up with my dad, because it's stationing on my Saturn, and he's got a Mars-Pluto in his chart, because he was a physician. And a Mars-Pluto conjunction. So I called him. I said, hi, how you doing? Not so good. I said, no, what's going on? Tooth abscess. So he had this big abscess appear overnight, which he had the tooth pulled and the drained and, you know, pus, pulling the pus out. And, of course, Pluto rules pus. And Scorpio rules ouch and infection and decay and cavities and all that kind of thing. And so we find that we're being asked to hang out in the underworld. I had a party at my house once a month. We had it tonight. We were talking about really gross stuff. We don't normally do that. Jane kept covering her ears and going, I don't want to hear this. This is, like, really gross. That's Pluto. When we're working with the underworld. So if you think about your life and what was really gross this week. So I had a friend whose eye is having some weird thing going on with his vitreous fluid. Not his retina. We're very clear it's not the retina. But his vitreous keeps having little eye bleeds. And the doctors are like, it's not your retina, it's your vitreous. So he, but he gets blood in his eye. So he and I were having this conversation about how cool it is how the body absorbs the blood out of your eye and you get your vision back again. If you've been having really gross conversations, if you've been doing really gross things this week, that's all Pluto. That's all Mars. Now this week it gets a little easier because everybody's moving in their new directions. And middle of the week, Mercury changes signs and goes into Aries because he's been rolling around in Pisces kind of crying and feeling sorry for himself. And so on the 16th, which is Monday, Mercury goes into Aries, so the Mars gets a great deal of energy. Right now, he's at the last degree of Pisces. He's kind of feeling sorry for himself. Tomorrow night, he goes into Aries, and we get a little zoom. We also, of course, have the IRS this week. For those of us in the States, we have to pay our taxes. And we often find that later in the week, we have the Sun entering Taurus, which starts anew. Productive, and we enter the fixed part of springtime, although with 77 degrees, it feels like summer. And we have a lovely new moon on Friday, or on Saturday rather, at 1 Taurus, planting and starting a new thing. We also have a meteor shower. The Lyrids come through the sky, so watching for the meteors falling from the heavens. And because Mercury is now in Aries, he's going to go through the cardinal cross energy from 2010, again stimulating it, and saying to you, what have you learned in your journey? Now remember, Mercury was fire, water, fire, water, fire. So he's back in fire again. He's now leapt up. He's going to leap up out of the water on Monday afternoon, and he's going to dry out. And he's going to feel better. He's not going to feel so whiny and sad and crying and lonely and harsh and, you know, life sucks. He's going to be in a much better mood, which is always good. We like Mercury in a better mood. And he's going to be moving forward, which is, again, always good. The Sun entering Taurus, Venus right now, is in the sign of Gemini. She entered her shadow last week, which means last week on the Saturday, Sunday, we found out what our Venus retrograde story is going to be about. That was Easter Saturday and Sunday. So Venus is going to be in Gemini till the middle of August. So last week she said, this is what we're going to work on when I'm going retrograde. So pay attention to what happened last weekend, because that's what you're going to work on. And that's in the house of the Gemini house in your chart. That also, because Venus is in Gemini and Saturn is in what is called Gemini's decant. We basically divide Saturn into three parts. We've divided every sign, actually, into three parts. But it's helpful when it's the bigger signs because you can really see it. So the first part is 0 to 10 degrees is Libra. 10 to 20 is Aquarius. 20 to 30 is Gemini. So Saturn, because he's rolling between 22 and 29, he's in the Gemini section of relationships. So if you think about it, in the fall of 2010, you really started talking about your personal relationships. Then last year, in 2011, you did a lot of work around your group relationships, or the partnerships that you were in that were part of a bigger group, or that were somehow tied to your hopes and dreams. And then, starting in the fall, you said, okay, I really need to talk about what I want as a partner. I did the partner, and I did partner groups, but what do I actually want? What's my vision of partnering? So we're back to Gemini. We're back to our own local dream, our own local idea, our own very personal version of what a relationship is. And, you know, we form these relationships to understand ourselves. That's what they're for. That's what all of life is. I mean, transits really are people. You know, when you look at a transit and you see, oh, Jupiter in Sagittarius is coming, you can pretty much describe a big guy with red hair is going to be arriving. And then the client goes, oh, my God, how'd you know it was a big guy with red hair who makes a lot of money and who has a kid? You know, I mean, you can see it in the chart. You know, it shows the transits describe the people that are appearing in your life. So this week we have a bunch of new energy. And last week we had a bunch of ending, resolving, finishing, completing, some cases having our teeth pulled like my father did, other cases having our eyes bleed, making us aware of our vision is really important, other times just feeling sorry for ourselves or feeling like we have to do something new, different, start a new thing, move some way in a new way. So that was all last week. This week is taking all that stuff that we experienced and learning how to work with it in a productive manner that makes us happy. And you know what? Truth be told, only one life. What are you doing? Are you spending it the way you want to spend it? Are you doing somebody else's life? If you're doing someone else's life, this is the universe's invitation to you this week to start changing it up and to say, I want to do my life now. You know, I really want to do my life. Give yourself permission to say what your life is. And if you're not really good at that, write down all the things you don't want your life to be and then write the positive version of it. Remember, a lot of times our little Virgo houses take over. Well, I don't want that and I don't want this. And remember, Mars is in Virgo right now. So he's pretty clear about the don't wants. I don't want that. So you say, okay, well, you don't want that. Then the positive version of that is this. And they go, yeah. Make a list of the positive versions of the don't wants. That's your homework assignment for the week. So this week, the moon has a closing aspect of a sextile to Jupiter, which is positive when it leaves Pisces. And then it goes into Aries on the 18th. And then it leaves Aries with a closing aspect of an opposition to Saturn. So that one's a hard, 18th and the 20, 19th and the 20th. That's separating. And then it enters Taurus on the 21st. And it has a closing aspect of a conjunction to Jupiter on the 22nd, which is always a positive, happy little moment. The sun goes from 28 Aries to 2 Taurus and has an aspect with the nodes of fate as it hits that last degree, a quintile, a partnership, an invitation to partner with your own brilliance, to partner with your own idea, and that'll be on the 18th and the 19th. And then it has a sextile to Neptune because it's a 2, Taurus, talking to Neptune, and Neptune is saying we're starting a new 14-year dream. Because remember, you had a dream that ran from 1998 to now, February, and then you had a dream that ran from 84 to 98 that was really solid, reliable, dependable. And then if you're old, you had a dream that ran from 70 to 84, which taught you how to think and see things and worry about stuff and know what you wanted. And then you could have had a dream before that. Just keep taking back 14 years. The one before that was Scorpio, which was really intense. The 14 years before that was Libra, which was the dream of a partner, the dream of a relationship. So now we're at Neptune, the dream of a dream. Neptune's in its favorite sign. So you're supposed to have a new dream coming in. So Sun and Neptune talk to each other on the 22nd, asking you about your new dream. Mercury, of course, is a busy bee this week. He's zipping along. He goes from 29 Pisces to 6 Aries. And he, in that time, enters Aries, where he was for a little bit of the retrograde. He clears his shadow at the end of the week. He has aspects to Mars, irritating aspects. So you're going to find on the 19th, 20th, you're kind of pissed off. You're in the mood to be a little irritated, or perhaps to have a fight with somebody. Or perhaps to say, you know what, I don't really want to do this, I want to do something else. Give yourself permission to do it and to do that different thing. Because Mercury is square to Jupiter, which is good news. It's semi-sextile to Neptune, which is creative, and then it's action-oriented, which is the Mars. Then we find Venus Mercury trine Juno at the on the 21st, which is all about connecting to partnership. And Mercury has really big connections to the nodes on the 21st. So you can meet a new partner. Now, this doesn't have to be a romantic partner. This is also under the new moon. So this can be just a work partner or an idea partner or someone that you want to work with in some capacity. And then on the 22nd, Mercury comes and joins with Uranus. Now, this is a precursor, this Uranus-Mercury, of what's going to be going on this summer when Uranus and Pluto square each other, okay? So you want to kind of pay attention to the 22nd and say, okay, this is my Mercury coming to Uranus saying, you know what, this is the direction I have to head now. This is the changes I have to make. So that happens on the 22nd. Venus is quiet. She's a little crabby with Saturn at the beginning of the week, but after otherwise she's just going from Gemini to, 11 to 14. She's not really moving very far. Uranus has an aspect to the nodes of fate on the 16th, which is Monday, where he's going to ask you to make a choice about what you want to do, how you want to proceed, what your ideas are that are creative, that are different, that are new, the things you've been working on since the summer of 2010. He's going to be talking to you and saying, hey, how about if we do that? And you should answer him when he asks you, yeah, I'm in. I'll do it. I'm totally got it. You got my attention. You have my commitment. I'm going to do it. Because Uranus to the nodes is excitement. It is kind of a new idea. It is a beginning of a new adventure. It's got an energy of wanting to create. And then Ceres on April 22nd talks to the nodes of fate too. She does it from an adjusting point of view. She says, well, if you really want to create that, you're going to have to change this. And a lot of times, that's how we get things. Ceres right now is in Taurus, which is a great place for her, Mother Earth energy. We see the Earth, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, blooming around us, full of life, coming alive and saying to us, gee, let's bloom. Let's create life. Let's go forward. Let's make stuff happen. And that's great. But for us to make stuff happen, we always have to take action. And we always have to change. Plants need to be fertilized. They need to be watered. There has to be sun growing. This stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. You can't just sit there and say, gee, I really want that to happen and expect it to happen. Part of life is about taking action and saying, okay, what actually is it I really want to do? What is my vision? What is my direction I want to head? And so this week, with Ceres aspecting those planets, aspecting the nodes, and saying to them, hey, if I could create anything, what would I create? And with the Sun, with Mercury and Venus all busy talking, what would it do? So one of the things somebody, I always get interesting emails from people, which I really appreciate. I don't always respond, but I do eventually read them. And sometimes I don't read them for a while. Other times I read them right away. And this was an email that I received this week, which I thought was important because last week we could have gotten bad news with the Pluto-Mars station. We could have been told something hard or horrible or difficult about our life. And so it's an article by a woman named Bonnie Ware, who's an Australian nurse who spent several years working in the palliative care, caring for patients in the last 12 weeks of their lives. And she recorded their epiphanies and has a book that she's published called The Top 5 Regrets of Dying. And I thought it was interesting. As witnessed, there were themes that she saw, things that they would do different when asked about as they're at the end of their life, when they're having clarity of the vision. And so these were the top 5 regrets, as she saw them and heard them from her patients left. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people have not honored even half their dreams, and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they made or not made. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. The second regret was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This came from every male patient that I nursed. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret, but most were from an older generation. Many of the female patients hadn't been the breadwinners. All the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. The third, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settled for mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Often they would not truly realize the benefits of old friends until their dying weeks, and it was not possible to track them down. Many had become so caught up in their own lives that they'd let friendships slip by over the years. There were many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. And then the last one, which I think is interesting, I wish I had let myself be happier. This is a very common one. Many didn't realize until the end that happiness is a choice. They'd stayed stuck in old patterns and old habits. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within they longed to laugh and have silliness in their life. So the question that she posed is, what is your greatest regret so far? And what will you set out to achieve or change before you die? Again, the five of them are, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that others expected of me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish that I had let myself be happier. Now, of course, when we wish, it implies we hadn't done it. So the idea here is to make that a positive. I lived a life that was true to myself. That's the affirmation. I worked and played with a good life balance. I expressed my feelings bravely and with heart. Courage is the consciousness of the heart. I stayed in touch with my friends. I was happy. I let myself be happy. I focused on when I wasn't happy. I made sure I changed whatever was making me unhappy to make myself happy. So if we sit down this week after last week's revelations and reveals and this week's new energies as Mercury enters Aries with a whole bunch of new resolutions, he's starting a whole new sign, starting a whole new zodiac cycle, Aries. Sun is going to go into Taurus, saying, what is that garden you want to plant? Venus is ruling Taurus, so she's ruling the Sun, she's ruling Jupiter, she's ruling Saturn. Saturn, of course, is helping rule Pluto, so there's a lot going on out there under Venus. Venus is in Gemini. So talking to Venus and saying to her, oh, goddess of love, what are my choices? And seeing where you have choices, because very often people just don't think they have the choice. And we do. We always have the choice. We always have the ability to live a life true to ourselves, to work and play in a balance that we have. We have the experiences that we can create with the people that we love. And we can express how we deeply feel. Not to be afraid to say, I love you. Not to be afraid to say, you know, you're very special to me. I have a lot of clients who come and go, and you know, I really like them, but I don't want to say it. I'm like, well, you're not a mind reader. You know, the whole world goes around with lack of saying what they need to say. Mercury's now gone direct. He's in Aries. He's ready to talk. So give him permission. The moon this week is in the signs of the dream, Pisces, on Monday and Tuesday. He's in direct communication on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then he enters Taurus on Saturday and Sunday. So this is a great week to take and change based on what you learn. This is a great week to have a New Year's resolution, have it a spring resolution, and just give yourself permission to jump boldly and bravely into the life you want to live. The planets are supporting it. You don't want to have regrets when you die. So on that happy note, we're going to sign off and wish you a great week. Ann Ortley, I'm an astrologer in New York. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. I'm going to go make some dishes, wash some dishes, and go watch the sunset. And maybe have an ice cream. Well, actually, I'm going to have some strawberries. I'm trying to lose some weight. And I hope you have a great week, too. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.